We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is the Sixth Man Show, an Orlando Magic podcast, with your hosts, Luke Sylvia and Jonathan Osborne, covering all things Magic basketball, by fans, for fans. Go Magic!
What's going on, Orlando Magic fans? You guys are back with the Sixth Man Show. Today is March 7th, 2024. Jonathan Osborne here, as always, joined by my co-host, Luke Sylvia. We are safe and sound back in Florida. Your Orlando Magic have now won the last five games in a row. Luke Sylvia, you know what that means. What's going on?
I do know what that means. We get back from Charlotte, and I don't know, Jonathan. It just feels a little hotter here, and I don't know if it's because we're in Florida again, or if it's because our Orlando Magic have extended the win streak to five. And Jonathan, You know what that means. I know what that means.
Give the people what they want.
We'll give them what they want.
Yeah, the nipples.
Let's go, man. Five. Bro, get this thing off me.
That was incredible.
So I'm just glad the shirt rip worked. I didn't rehearse that was awesome. I didn't use another shirt. So yeah, you guys officially got the nips. You're welcome, first and foremost, and thank you to the Orlando Magic for the five-game win streak to allow me the opportunity. But yeah, from now on till the Magic lose again, shirts are off. The shirt's been ripped.
Tarp's
off. I'm not wearing a shirt to work. I'm not wearing a shirt home. I'm just going to be shirtless. So the shirt is off for the foreseeable future.
Love that. Yeah. Magic with their fifth win in a row tonight. 21-point comeback in Washington. The biggest comeback of the season for the Magic, tied for the sixth biggest comeback in franchise history. We'll talk about that game. Obviously, we'll talk about the win in Charlotte, as well as our trip and all that kind of stuff, which was really awesome. A lot of fun. Met a lot of you in Charlotte, which was awesome. And yeah, this has just been a really great week so far. Ton to talk about. But before we do that, we teased last episode. We're doing our next group night. So I want to give everybody as much information as we can here, sort of get through this in just a minute here. The next group night that we are going to do is going to be this month. It is going to be March 30th when the Orlando Magic are set to take on the Memphis Grizzlies. Now, we're going to be sitting in section 118, but there's something incredibly special about this group night. The Magic came to us with this opportunity and said, hey, we want you all to do this group night. And for people that come to this group night, we are going to let you play on the Kia Center floor for a couple of hours prior to the game. So we are bringing 60 Magic fans before that game. So earlier that afternoon from like the 1 to 3 window, like somewhere in there. As we get closer, we'll be able to share more specific details. But we're bringing 60 Magic fans with us to this game, where earlier in the afternoon, we will hoop on the Magic's floor. You will be able to play basketball in Kia Center on the Magic's NBA floor for 2 hours earlier in the day. Then we'll all leave. People will go and shower, whatever they might need to do. Then we are going to head over to Jam Hot Chicken. where you can, you know, buy food if you want to eat. You can just hang out and enjoy the vibes if you want. So we'll go to Jam Hot Chicken, and then we'll all go to the Magic game against the Grizzlies. We'll all be sitting in section 118. So we've already rolled this out to our patrons. We're now rolling this out to the public here on Thursday. So we do think these tickets are going to go fast. So I am going to let you know right now, I'm about to give you the URL. So if you're driving, you can pull over. If you're working, take a break, whatever you need to do. I'm going to give you the URL now because there's only 60 tickets. We've already sold a decent amount so far. And once these are gone, they are gone. They're going to be, I think, around $100. Whenever we do these type of group nights, there is like dynamic pricing that we can't control. The last I checked, I think they were like $100.89, something like that. So here is the URL. It is FEVO, which is spelled F-E-V-O. So FEVO-enterprise.com/event/6th man and then the number 7. So FEVO-enterprise.com/event/6th man7. That will bring you to the FEVO site where you can purchase your tickets. There's only going to be 60 of these sold, so get them as soon as you possibly can. Luke, I don't know about you. Well, I do know about you. I know we're both incredibly excited for this, but this is like a once in a lifetime type of opportunity. Super excited for this. It's going to be so much fun.
You and I have gotten to do a lot of cool things doing the show. You and I have never been presented the opportunity to play on an NBA floor of any sort, despite the other opportunities we've gotten with the Magic and the players we've talked to and whatever else. That is how big of an opportunity this is. Because it's no secret, any NBA fan and any Magic fan would love to do this. So now that the opportunity is here, you and I aren't going to pass it up. And hopefully, if you guys are able to make it happen, we'll see you guys there on March 30th.
It's going to be a great time. Really, really can't wait for that. Shout out to the Magic for allowing this opportunity. And like I said, it's like a once in a lifetime kind of thing. Never thought it would be something that we'd be able to do. So can't wait for that. Can't wait to see you all, all of us hooping. Got to get the jump shot ready. Haven't shot a basketball in probably like 5 or 6 months.
Yeah, it's
I'm going to try to do that a few times over the course of the next couple of weeks so that I'm not just ice cold when we get out there, trying to work on the handles a little bit in the garage as well. A lot of stretching over the course of the next couple of weeks. We don't want anybody to get hurt, obviously. So, very much looking forward to that. Now, the NBA standings, especially the Eastern Conference standings, are really tightening up. It's no secret that we have a big game coming up against the Knicks on Friday. So producer Kevin, I don't know that I'm going to be able to join this one because I've got, for those of you that remember Will, OG of the Six Man Show, he's getting married this weekend. So I've got some stuff going on, we're getting closer to the wedding. So I don't know that I'll be able to make it, but Kevin is going to do a playback on Friday, I think starting at 7:30. We've got the Cavaliers taking on the Timberwolves. That's going to be a big game. We're just now three and a half games back of Cleveland. We've got the Pelicans taking on the 76ers. The 76ers lost tonight to the Memphis Grizzlies. So they're sort of continuing to drop in the standings in the Eastern Conference. Then we've got the Thunder taking on the Heat. Thunder have been one of the best teams in the league, one of the best teams in the Western Conference all year. So a Thunder win over the Heat would be really big. And then maybe the Bucks may or may not be out of reach. We are now 5 games back of Milwaukee. So Milwaukee plays the Lakers in LA. So tons of big games on the slate Friday night. So producer Kevin is going to be doing a playback, mostly watching the Magic game, but I'm sure he'll be providing updates on scores around the league that night. Next, our next episode of the Six Fan Show is going to be filmed this Sunday when the Magic take on the Indiana Pacers. Really big game as it pertains to the Eastern Conference playoffs and the standings right now. So Ben will be outside of Kia after that game Sunday night. So looking forward to that. And then the last piece of Magic news before we actually talk Magic basketball here, or Six Man Show news rather. Our next watch party is going to be March 15th when the Magic take on the Toronto Raptors. I know on the last episode we said that's going to be at Johnny's Fillin Station. There's been a change to that. We are now going to be at the Twisted Handle, which is located at 1632 North Mills Avenue in Orlando. Tip off of that game is going to be 7:30. Man, we've got a lot of stuff going on. Let's get into the state of the Magic, Luke. This week, the Magic are 2-0 so far with wins over Charlotte and Washington. They currently sit fourth in the Eastern Conference on March 7th. Who would have thought? With a record of 37-26, 11 games over 500, 12 games back of Boston, 5 games back of Milwaukee, 3.5 games back of Cleveland, a half game up on New York, a game up on Miami, 2 games up on Indiana, 7 games up on Chicago, 8.5 games up on Atlanta. On the season, the Magic are 22nd now in offensive rating with a rating of 113.3. They are 4th in the league in defensive rating with a rating of 111.2. They are 12th in net rating with a net rating of exactly 2. Luke, now with, 21 games left to go in the season, the Magic are 11 games up, like over 500. It would be pretty difficult to see the Magic not finishing at least like a couple of games over 500. Like it feels like, 44, 45 wins is almost inevitable at this point with the potential to get to, 50.
You've got 19 games left.
19, so even better.
You've got 19 games left, and two of which are against Charlotte, one against the Blazers, one against the Grizzlies, two against the Raptors, one against the Nets, one against the Rockets. Those are your easiest games left. All very winnable, and that is like nine games out of the 19 left. So even if you win, let's say you win all nine, you lose the rest, which is not likely how that shakes out, just whatever, for variable reasons, but that means that you finish the season with 46 wins. So you feel good about that at that point. 46 and 36, hopefully, should be good for the sixth seed. We'll see as close as this race has been, but you've got the Sixers who struggle without Joel Embiid, as we saw against the Grizzlies tonight. I believe they're now like 6-19 without him this year, so something like that. But they're not good without Joel Embiid, and you've got all these other teams banged up, and you just got to keep taking advantage of it, winning the games that you should win and stay competitive in the ones and make it a 50-50 game against teams that are just better than you.
Even our like most optimistic expectations before the season, we were like, we were at 42, 43 mm-hmm. wins. Like we felt like that was realistic. And yeah, like I don't think anybody could have predicted that the Magic are legitimately going to have at least an outside chance of reaching 50 wins this season. Just a special group. Like we're going to talk about the last couple of games that the Magic have won and just the level of like grit and like resilience that they've had to show. Just a special group, a special season that we're witnessing. It's just been so much fun. Let's take a quick look at the injury report here. Markelle Fultz missed Tuesday's game in Charlotte for knee injury maintenance. And then he played on Wednesday, luckily. So, this trend seems like it's just going to continue here. Jonathan Isaac and Gary Harris missed Wednesday's game in Washington for injury maintenance as well. J.I., obviously it's the knee. Gary Harris, or J.I., it's the knee, hamstring, whatever exactly was going on with him. Luckily, J.I. has mostly been healthy this year. Again, something that's just been a revelation. And then Gary with the calf strain, injury maintenance, missed Wednesday's game. And then Wendell missed Wednesday's game with a sore right knee, which if you listen to the post-game live that we did immediately after the Charlotte game, it was maybe not expected, but wasn't a big surprise. Because like I mentioned, in like the third quarter, he like headed to the locker room and then came back. Don't think we really saw him in the fourth and was sitting there with the Theragun like on his thigh, like knee area. So not really surprising. But Luke, like I again, just to echo, like here we are, March 7th, 37-26, continue to win games here. No Markelle Tuesday. And then Markelle is available on Wednesday. You don't have J.I., you don't have Gary Harris, who has been starting, you don't have Wendell, and it's Goga that's inserted into the starting lineup, and Anthony Black. So when I heard that Gary Harris was going to be out and Markelle was playing, I said, okay, if we're going to get Markelle back into the starting lineup, this is the perfect opportunity to do it. We've been talking about this the last few episodes. Jamal Mosley decides to go with Anthony Black in the starting lineup. It pays off. Markelle Fultz coming in off the bench yet again. It kind of feels like Markel is just going to play with the bench unit from this point forward. Fully healthy, the starting lineup looks like it's J.I., Gary, Franz, Paolo, Wendell.
I keep wondering, and then Mosley does something when I start to make a decision on what I think. Anthony Black, like you said, getting the start makes me think at that point, oh, well, let's see how it goes. Let's see how the minutes play out. And we'll see if down the stretch, like we'll see who starts, we'll see who finishes. And then in the final minutes, Jonathan, you don't see Anthony Black or Markel because Cole Anthony's in the game.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. But
so to me, the just not wanting to get ahead of myself with the Markel Fultz, like where he's going to be, what his role is on the team, I don't want to get ahead of myself in the sense that, like, if Anthony Black's a surefire starter, don't you also have enough confidence in him to finish these games? And he didn't. And I understand Cole had it going, but at the same time, I don't know. I'm not ready to say Markel Fultz is going to be on the bench the rest of the year.
Yeah, we'll talk about that because that was probably the only issue that I had with Mosley's decision making in that Washington game. But we'll talk about that in a few minutes. Let's talk about the Hornets game and like the Charlotte trip. So first of all, the trip was incredible. We found the Good Eats, you know, midnight diner for breakfast. We hit cookout. Luke sat dinner out. wasn't feeling 100% dinner time, but you know, stepped up to the plate, met us at the game. We, you know, cheered our little hearts out. We got to be like 10 feet away from J. Cole from the majority of the night, which was pretty crazy. We had a little cameo appearance on both broadcasts, the Charlotte broadcast and the Orlando broadcast. We'll talk really about all that, but the best part of the trip for me was getting to meet people, like all the Magic fans, like that, you know, either drove up from Orlando or that live in the Charlotte or like the Carolinas area, getting to meet everybody, getting to hang out at halftime, and yeah, just get to meet people that you've been talking with online for years. It was just really dope. Like we had like 15 Magic fans that we got the opportunity to take a photo with at halftime. Just really a great trip. Happy to be home though.
I hadn't experienced a road Magic game in probably 12, 13 years. Prior, the only away games I've been to was at Boston and at Atlanta. And that was when I was younger, like I said. And I wasn't exactly taking notes on how many Magic fans were in the building because I just wasn't thinking about it because I was so young. So I don't know if it's just because, I don't know if it's because the Magic are just good this season or if it's because I just have haven't been to a road game in forever, but there were just so many Magic fans, so many more than I expected. Like walking up instantly, I was seeing Magic gear. People with like the throwback jackets on, the windbreakers, people with the first player jersey I saw was Jalen Suggs. And then I just kept seeing Jalen Suggs like a couple more jerseys in a row. And then obviously you've got the Paolo and the Franz and the custom jerseys and whatnot. But that was just the craziest part to me was how many Magic fans were there. Obviously, it was still, you know, it wasn't like Knicks Magic in Orlando with all the Knicks fans, but it was still an impressive amount considering you're a small market team, fresh off of this rebuild. Can we say that now? Are we done with the rebuild?
We're done.
So fresh off the rebuild, and just a lot of representation. Was really happy to see that and super encouraging for the future of the organization that, you know, all the Magic fans aren't just in Florida.
Yeah, it was really awesome, again, getting to meet everybody. So we sat like a couple rows off the floor, but I have to say something. This is going to be a hot take. People aren't going to like this. From a purely basketball perspective, I enjoyed the vibe of Spectrum Center. Like I really did. Like obviously not like Hornets fans being there. Obviously I would prefer it to be 19,000 deep, like Magic diehards. But just like the layout of the arena, like it just feels more like a basketball facility, and the layout of the seating, like everybody is on top of the floor, which is what I really like. Like Kia, obviously it's a great venue for basketball games. But first and foremost, it is like a multi-purpose, you know, multi-use event facility. It's not specifically geared for basketball, and Spectrum Center felt more like it was geared specifically for basketball. So we weren't technically on the floor, but we were 4 inches off the floor. And we're sitting there, like, we had great seats. It was awesome. We're getting ready for the game to start, and out comes freaking J. Cole. Like, that, I haven't been starstruck in a while. Yeah. And we all, like, collectively freaked out when J. Cole came out. Kendra sitting there doing, like, her pregame hit for the Bally broadcast. And even she couldn't help, like, she was in her, like, defense, I like, kept her composure and didn't really seem phased. But you could see, like, her eyes light up, like, oh my gosh, like, J. Cole is 5 inches from me. So that was really dope. And then we're sitting in the game, and the Bally Charlotte, like, broadcast is a little bit off to our left, getting ready to do some kind of, like, in-game hit. And Kevin's like, oh my gosh, like, we're going to be right here in this shot. So when they start filming and the lights come on, like, you know, we're flashing our Magic jerseys and everything. And Kevin has the ingenious idea to pull up the Six Man Show logo on his phone and, like, show it to the camera. So the Six Man Show logo made it onto the Charlotte broadcast. And then within, like, 30 seconds, our friends over at the Bally Sports Florida team, like, the whole production team, and Dante and Jeff gave us a nice little shout out on the broadcast, which, like, my phone was blowing up, like, with notifications on Twitter and Instagram and text, and you know, people in my personal life be like, yo, you guys are on the broadcast. We're like, what do you mean? So, like, people are sending us the video. We're, like, trying to watch it and listen to it in the stands. And yeah, that was just a really dope, like, surreal moment. Like, never ever thought that would happen. And yeah, that was super cool.
Yeah, what if I told you the craziest part of our night in Charlotte, the second craziest part, would be J. Cole sitting in front of us, because the craziest part is being shouted out on the Bally Sports broadcast. That was nuts. I couldn't believe that Dante did that, and shout out to the production team, all of them. They don't have to do that stuff.
Yeah.
There's no reason to do that. We didn't expect that at all. We talked with Jeff and Dante, Jeff Turner and Dante, before the game, talked to him for a minute and walked away, and that was it, right? Like, we were like, okay, like, that was great getting to see, you know, people within the organization and people that we have formed connections with. Super awesome opportunities. And then for them to just go a step further and shout us out meant a whole lot. And something I'll never forget, it's a clip that I will have the rest of my life, just because that's what we grew up with. It was cool enough that, like, Ryan Bass shouted us out on the broadcast a few months ago during the halftime report, I think.
Yeah, pregame or halftime, just, like, different stats that we had tweeted out.
I thought that was cool. And I thought that might really be cool. The peak of our feature on Bally Sports. But to have that moment forever is incredible. And shout out to Dante.
Yeah, that was incredible. And then obviously we're going to talk about the Charlotte game in depth. But the last couple of minutes of that game, we've been in Kia time and time again. Like, so many Magic fans can relate to this, where an away team comes in, kicks your butt. There's a strong contingency of their fans. And over the course of the last minutes, the Let's Go Heat, Knicks, Celtics, whoever it is, Warriors, Bulls, those chants start to echo throughout the lower bowl. And we said, you know what? Listen, Charlotte, nothing against you all, but it's our turn. And the last couple of minutes, like, we started the Let's Go Magic chants and sort of got that going. If you go back and listen to the last minute or so of that game in the broadcast, you can hear us a little bit. It's faint, but you can hear us a little bit. And then, of course, we were singing, the Orlando Magic song and chanting "Play the Song" towards the end of that game. A lot of Charlotte fans were not happy about that, and they let us hear about it. But you go into an opponent's arena and you want to be there and support your team just as if you're, at home or, in the Kia Center. And we definitely made sure that we did that and try to show out the best that we can and represent for all the Magic fans. And it was just an awesome night and really great to get the win.
Yeah. Shout out to the older gentleman in front of us that at one point I heard him say, "You guys just need to sit down." He didn't like it very much. That we were
That's a high school call.
That's a high school call, man.
I said, that's the correct call, sir. Take that L. That's a high school call. Yeah, it was like,
shout out to him.
Like, Franz is just getting hacked, like, every single time going to the rim, and we were letting the refs hear about it. And Jamal Mosley, who got you know, teed up at one point in the game, was letting them hear about it. And they decided to give us like a little touch makeup call. And that guy in front of us couldn't really handle it. But all right.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Let's talk about this game against Charlotte. This was an ugly game, like really from the start until about like the last few minutes of the third quarter where the Magic really started to take over. But it was like for the most part just a ugly, gritty, physical game. Like the first few minutes, game was sort of going back and forth. Then all of a sudden I look up at one point, the Magic were up 7, like towards the end of the first quarter. It's like, man, how do we get the lead? And then sort of, you know, the game starts to go back and forth. You know, Magic were down at the half. They were down, They were down in the fourth quarter, but then ended up up two at the half. NBA.com is like really slacking right now. Don't even have the different half stats like I'm usually accustomed to going to take a look at that. And then to start the third quarter, like the Magic are trying to pull away in the game, but Charlotte's really just like hanging around. And then where this game like really took a turn is the game was tied 53-53 with 7:39 to go. Franz Wagner drives the right part of the lane, dunks over Miles Bridges and Brandon Miller. Remember those guys, to take a 2-point lead. And then a couple of minutes later, Jalen Suggs, it was Wendell Carter Jr., and it might have been, I forget who it was that trapped Miller there, but they stripped the ball, ends up in Jalen Suggs' hands. He drives the length of the floor and dunks all over Nick Richards to give the Magic a 2-point lead. And from that point, Luke, like the Magic really started to knock down shots. They take a 9-point lead into the fourth quarter. And don't really relinquish that. Like played really well in that fourth quarter as well, on their way to the victory over the Charlotte Hornets. That dunk, we talked about this on the post game live, but like I just instant shot of adrenaline. One of the craziest dunks that I've seen in person, and like really just got the Magic fans going, got the Magic going. Cole Anthony was big in the fourth quarter, really helped put the game away for the Magic. But those two dunks from Franz and then by Jalen, like really just you felt the momentum shift in that game. The Magic were super frustrated. Cole Anthony got a tech in this game. Jamal Mosley, we talked about, got a tech in this game. And for what was like an ugly physical game, the Magic just decided, hey, like, we've had enough, made a couple of big plays to kind of swing the momentum and get the team going. And to their credit, they're able to pull off the 101-89 victory in Charlotte for their fourth straight win, and a big win on the road.
As great as it was defensively, from that standpoint, you hold Charlotte to 43 in the first half, obviously 89 for the game. There was no reason offensively that you only score 45 points and a half against the Charlotte Hornets. You turn the ball over 18 times, and thankfully, when the team you're playing against is not very good, you're able to kind of have them make the same mistakes. The Hornets have 19 turnovers to your 18, but the Magic didn't play their game. And that comes from the fact that they scored only 42 points in the paint. Usually you're a team that's scoring like 56, 57, 58, all around there. Definitely not that low of an amount. You shoot more threes than you normally would as well. You shoot 35 of them. And there's a stat that Philip Rossman-Reich with Locked On Magic and Orlando Magic Daily said today on his episode, or yesterday as you guys are listening to this. But his stat was that the Magic are now 5-16 when they shoot 35 plus threes in a game. 4-16 coming into this game. But you don't play your game. Thankfully, you're able to pull away just because this team is not good. You don't hit free throws. You're 8-15, 53%. All the Charlotte Hornets make all 11 of theirs. A lot left to be desired in this game, but thankfully redeemed by the fact that we were there for a win, but also the dunks that we had, because it wasn't just Jalen, it was the Franz dunk, and then Mo was getting dunks as well. Like, they just were punishing the rim. And at that point, you know, you start to feel pretty good about yourself. You end up winning every quarter except that second quarter. You turn it up a little bit in that second half, scoring 56 points as opposed to 45. Let's be honest. You just took out the trash, right? Like, that's what it felt like this team was doing. Paolo was pretty rough early on. What did he finish with? Five turnovers for him. Four turnovers for Franz. Franz finishes with just 8 points in this one. Really uncharacteristic game from a lot of guys in this one. It was good to see Cole Anthony step up to the call. 5-11 from the field. 14 points. And, I mean, when you look at the box score, it's like, who else had a really good game? Obviously, Joe Ingles, eight assists, zero turnovers. Mo Wagner, relatively good game for his standards, especially 11 points. But, you know, you look everywhere else with Franz having single digits, and, you know, obviously of Gary with 9, Suggs with 4. It was a very, very, very odd game.
Yeah, Jalen, I think, had like the first basket of the game and then didn't score again until that dunk on Richards, which really was, in my opinion, the play of the game. Like, it like the Franz dunk sort of got the momentum rolling a little bit, but like Jalen's dunk just like took all of the oxygen out of that building. Like, he dunks that we're going crazy. Magic fans are going crazy, but the rest of Spectrum Center is just like completely silent. Like, really couldn't believe what had just happened. And like you said, Cole goes on to have, you know, the big fourth quarter that he does, you know, 7 points, 3-6 from the floor. Really helped like put the game away for the Magic. But like, to the Magic's credit, like, we talk about this, like, hey, like, you just need to win the games at this point that you should. Not going to complain too much about wins that come at this point in the season. You just need to keep winning games. And they got away from it a little bit in that first half, like 12 first half turnovers. Turnovers have been an issue all year, but like, their ability to just like clamp down defensively in that second half, you know, against Charlotte, you know, 23 points in the third and fourth quarters, and just your ability when things aren't going your way and like adversity hits, like one of the worst like officiated games of the year. I feel like we say that a lot, but like this one, seeing it up close and like seeing the fouls happen 10 feet from you, and you're like, the ref is 2 feet away from it and watches it and doesn't call it, but the ref that's 25 feet away realizes it was so egregious that he could see it from where he was standing, and this other guy doesn't blow the whistle, so he has to. And I don't know that I remember a game this year where the Magic were more frustrated by officiating in this game. And I think it was after the Cole Anthony tech, I think it was, that Jamal Mosley like brings everybody together, like huddles up the team and basically like calms them down and sort of regain their composure, and the Magic go on to get the dub. And yeah, it was awesome to get the win. You know, like last year in Charlotte was a ton of fun, but losing that game really sucked. And as much fun as you can have like the day of it making a trip like that, if you lose, it kind of feels pointless. So it was really good to come away with the W. All right, let's go ahead and give a quick shout out to our patrons. Literally, we could not go on that trip without the support of our patrons. So I want to give you all a very special shout out. If you want to help support the show, you can find us at patreon.com/thesixmanshow. We have a few, or a couple, I should say, brand new patrons. Shout out to Michael Thompson, longtime listener of the show, joined the Patreon at our Hall of Fame tier level. Got to meet Michael and his lovely wife and their daughters at the game in Charlotte. They made the trip. Really, really nice meeting you guys. Been talking online with Michael Thompson for a long time. And again, to be able to meet these people in person after years of talking and sharing in this fandom was really, really cool. So shout out to Michael. Thanks so much for the support over the years. And thank you now for joining the Patreon. And then a big shout out to Mama Richmond, who joined the Patreon as well at the $10 level. Anytime we have brand new patrons, we give them a very special shout out. And we give a special shout out to our Hall of Fame and elite tier patrons each and every episode. So we'll go ahead and start that now with the Court Cousins, Drew Gooden, Armin, Carson Tulo, Ellis, Jonathan Borges, Normal, Magic Player History, Gabe Gaines, Wiffle, Michael Martin, Jamel Miller, Michael Salapong, Donkey Punch Day, Paolo and Franz's Warren, Pierre A., Dylan Holden, Mr. Mikey, Eduardo Sanchez, Danimal, Dutto 15, Bobby Skinner, Goaty 93, Teddy Sylvia, Eric Lopez, Fuchsia, Bill Fulton, Edmund Lagona, Jose Esquilin, Caleb Pete, Canvalism, Ty, Mr. TV, ESPN Really Sucks, Gear 95, Shred, Junior Bruce, Half Freak, and Shahin 177, Obi the Don, Himlo, Ben Himro, RM Prof 221, Ray Pastrana, Magic Hit 714, Mysterious Mosley, Victor Cologne, Irish Magic Mike, Austin Lampy, Random Hustle, Only Franz, Maria, Keith Wallace, Fritz, Currency Kev, Brub Sal, Kason Green, Santi Leon, Kane Eckler, The Distract, Ahmad Timsa, Chantu, Tom Gatson, Dead Air, Richard Tuttle, Jeremiah Quintero, Barstool Magic, Debo 1980, Magic Matt, Michael Thompson, and Mama Richmond. A big shout out to all of our patrons. Again, you can find us at patreon.com/thesixmanshow. Luke, talk to the people about Jam.
Well, we mentioned Jam earlier, March 30th, after that. After we play on the court and people get freshened up and everything for the game that night, we are going to be heading over to Jam Hot Chicken, which group night with us or not, encourage you guys to go out there. We're located at 400 West New England Avenue there in Hannibal Square, Suite 13 in beautiful Winter Park. Jam Hot Chicken is a Nashville and LA inspired chicken shack, locally owned and operated there in Winter Park. You guys can find them at Jam Hot Chicken on all social media. You can also go to jamhotchickenfl.com. Put in your order ahead of time, look at their playlist, everything like that. Go check out Jam Hot Chicken. Let them know we sent you.
Yeah, and group night or not, like Luke said, even if you're not coming to like the game, or you're not coming to the, you know, the like hoop event like before the game, even if you're just in the area and you want to come and hang out at Jam with us prior to the game, like please feel more than welcome to do that. Now let's talk about this Wizards game tonight. The reason that people can see your chest and your nipples and all that kind of good stuff that you got going on over there.
Sure.
Magic have now won 5 in a row with the win over the Washington Wizards, second game of the back-to-back. This game was ugly. Like Magic just got off to a bad start midway through the second quarter. They were down 21 points. Magic are able to tighten that up a little bit. Believe they were down 11 at the half. Again, NBA.com let me down here. Down 12 at the half. They were down 65-53. Outscore Washington 31-18 in the third and 35-26. A 31-point swing as the Magic go on to win this game 119-109. I was a little bit concerned in that first half. Anytime the team goes down by 21, you start to get a little bit concerned because, like, okay, this game is only a few minutes away. If it continues to go in this direction, a few more minutes, you're down 30. And when you're down 30, you almost never come back from down 30. 21, you're down 12 at the half, and I'm like, okay, we're good. Magic should definitely still be able to come back and win this game. Got away from their identity a little bit in that first half. Washington was doing a really good job of moving the ball and knocking down shots. The Magic were not doing a good job of being sharp defensively, not doing a good job of knocking down shots from the perimeter in the first half. But the Magic just decided, and Jamal Mosley talked about this after the game, we just had to get back to our identity, which is exactly what they did. Again, you know, holding Washington to 18 points in that third, and then 26 in the fourth quarter. Just good defensive half. Did what you needed to do. Guys got going. You know, Anthony Black hit some big shots in this game. Jalen Suggs hit some big shots in this game. Mo Wagner was incredible. 16 points. I believe 14 of those came in the fourth quarter. And then Franz Wagner with 28. Paolo Banchero with 25 and 10. The double-double. Those guys really just led the charge for the Magic. You know, 53 points between the two of those guys. And then, you know, Jalen had some really big timely buckets, some big threes. Anthony Black had a couple of big threes, helped get the Magic back into this game and helped them take the lead. Cole Anthony, you know, had big plays in the second half. And Mo Wagner, we talked about, you know, his performance in the fourth quarter, you know, 16 points for him. Win the games that you should, Luke. Like, it really comes down to that. It's as simple as that. Did they come out flat in the first half? They did. Second night of a back-to-back. I'm really tired of using that as an excuse. I wouldn't have used that as an excuse had the Magic lost this game. But to their credit, they realized what was going on. They came out of halftime ready to play. And yeah, like, I just don't know what else there is to be said about Jamal Mosley, the way that he's coached this team, like, not only this year, not only last year, but like from the moment he took the reins of this team. No matter how much the Magic are down, if they are down, like, you know that third quarter run is coming, and they've been able to put a couple of those, you know, together in this recent stretch here. And like, credit to those guys. Like, yes, second night of a back-to-back, it's tired. You and I didn't play basketball. All we did was take a couple of flights, eat food, watch and talk about basketball, and we're completely spent. Like, I have no idea how these guys do this for, you know, 6 months out of the year. So yeah, you understand they're a little bit tired, but when, like, it was time for them to go out and make plays, they made the plays. This is a game on the schedule that you had to have. Producer Kevin talked about it in the postgame live. Yes, for the last several weeks, if you've looked, the Magic have had the easiest remaining strength of schedule throughout the league. That is now changing by, you know, each game that we play against these bad teams. And there are challenging games that are coming up. You know, we've got New York, we've got Indiana coming up. Those are both essentially like playoff games for the Magic, and they needed to win this game. Paolo and Franz put the team on their back. Other guys made timely plays. Jamal Mosley made sure that these guys knew what they needed to do in that second half, and to everybody's credit, they went out and did that.
Like you said, tired of using the back-to-back excuse. You can't use it against teams as bad as the Wizards are. Now they have lost, I believe, 14 straight. I'm very thankful we did not become the reason that losing streak was snapped. Like Kyle Kuzma said about another team, the Detroit Pistons, at this point, you don't want to be that team. And that's the case for, ironically, his team tonight. You don't want to be that team that loses to the Wizards right now. They are the coldest team in the NBA right now. And that is not cold as a good, uplifting term about the Washington Wizards. But in this one, the second half, that's what you have to do when you put up such an egg in the first half. And then obviously you kind of wake up near the end of that first half, like you said, you outscore the Wizards 66-44 in that second half. And let's be clear as well. If last night's game and this night's game were against average teams, you likely lose both. The way you started out, specifically, obviously, against the Hornets, and how you started out against the Wizards, absolutely down 21, the largest comeback of the season for the Magic. Largest comebacks of the season typically happen against a really bad team, so you're very fortunate that this was the case. Back-to-backs is there something to it? I'm starting to think there absolutely is. You're now 4-9. If you're playing a good team tonight, you get your doors blown off. They don't mess up a 21-point lead, most likely. So you really should be, you know, 3-10 on the back to backs. The one thing that we keep saying, come postseason, there can't be a back to back. So that's a good thing if you're a Magic fan. That would be awful if that was the case, because we would not have much faith in this team to win those games because of what they've shown us this year. But Paolo Banchero, can we just talk about really his vision and how incredible it truly is to have 10 assists tonight? He's had like four double-digit assist games in his career, all of which have happened this season. So to me, that's growth. Jamal Mosley wants to talk about growth all the time. That's growth. 10 assists against the Lakers in November of this season. 10 against OKC in February, a couple months ago. Then tonight against Washington, he has 10 assists, 4 turnovers. You can live with the 4 turnovers if you're getting me double-digit assists. And then his career high is January 5th against Denver, where he was doing everything. And his 32-point, 10-rebound performance, where he had 11 assists as well. So Paolo, just, man, hats off to him. The vision's incredible. The feel for the game's incredible to know when he should focus on doing what. Obviously, opening the floor for others opens it for himself. He has 25 points on great efficiency, 10 of 20. He played a heck of a game, and obviously Franz Wagner too, but I really wanted to talk about just the vision of Paolo Banchero and the growth that's been shown.
After the All-Star break, since Paolo came back from, you know, the missing a couple of games with the illness, in 4 games, 26.3 points, 55% from the floor, 33% from behind the arc, 81 at the free throw line, but 26-7-6 from Paolo over these last 4 games since he's come back from being sick, just playing at a superstar level right now, which is so impressive. Like, as great as, you know, Franz was, like, you know, the 28 points, but like, he like was really aggressive, like immediately out of the gate tonight after not having a good game against Charlotte. But like, hats off to Paolo. It was just awesome. I do want to talk about Anthony Black. I know we alluded to this at the beginning of the show, but like, Anthony Black like was instrumental in that run in the third quarter that helped get the Magic back into the game. You know, hits a big three, and then plays just 1 minute in the fourth quarter of this game as the Magic are really, you know, trying to put the game away. And in this game, let's see, where is it here? 21 minutes, 8 points, 1 rebound, 2 assists. But in 21 minutes was a plus 18 in the box score. Against Charlotte in 27 minutes was a plus 7. I feel like Anthony Black is, like, it's similar to how I felt about Jaylen like all last year. Like, when Jaylen is put in position to make winning plays when you need winning plays, he made winning plays. When Anthony Black is in the game and is being asked to knock down shots, and like, the kid is shooting 40% basically from behind the arc. I know it's on low volume, but when he has opportunities and he's open, he's knocking down those shots. And like, defensively, it is really honestly incredible. He had a big steal tonight, which led to a big play as the Magic were, you know, trying to take the lead back from Washington. And it worked out tonight, you know, with Cole. Like, Cole had some big plays down the stretch, but in the moment, it's just like, Anthony Black has been really good in this game and like, started the game and played well against Charlotte. Like, every big run that the Magic had against Charlotte, Anthony Black was in the game for, including like the 10-0 stretch that they had, I think in the fourth, to like really start to put that game away. So it just sucks that like, he's in and out of the lineup. Then now he's playing against Charlotte. Now he's asked to start against Washington, plays well, like isn't making mistakes, and then is just the guy that's getting sort of like the short end of the stick when it comes to the fourth quarter. So I still don't have a good feel for like, what exactly is the goal here. Again, I do feel like Markel is probably going to continue to come in off the bench, But it just sucks when like AB is just doing everything that he's asked to do, playing really well when he's given the opportunity, and then isn't being rewarded by being able to close these games.
My only feeling with why Cole Anthony closes this one is just because he had been showing glimpses of like, I can get you a bucket if you need a bucket throughout this game. You didn't feel like it's the Cole Anthony that we had, you know, even just recently, where he was going to force things and do his own thing. He only had like a couple shots tonight where I was like, oh, that you rushed that, or that was ill-advised. So I want to say that's why, because everything points to Anthony Black with the other four that were in the closing lineup. Everything points to that they have yielded great results on high volume of possessions this year, where Cole Anthony hasn't played too much with that closing group. Comparatively, Anthony Black has so many more reps and has yielded better results. So I'm going to say that it was one of Jamal's things where he's riding the hot hand and just thinking like leaning on some offensive output here down the stretch and trusting Cole can hold his own defensively, which, by the way, on a side note, Cole Anthony with his block at the rim tonight was outrageous, where he just steals the ball away. It was a true stock. I think a block and a steal happened in the same play.
Yeah.
But that was incredible. So shout out to him for that. But yeah, I want to say that Mosley was just showing some confidence in Cole Anthony there down the stretch. And who knows? But yeah, it did make me feel a little weird, like I said at the beginning of the show, about where Anthony Black stands. Are you just throwing him into the starting lineup because Fultz is getting back into rhythm and you don't want to mess up the, you know, anything else with the bench? I don't really know. I don't know what the logic is at that point, but we'll continue to monitor it. Obviously, we've got 19 games left, and hopefully as we get further and further down the stretch, we get a better idea of what's going to happen and what the rotations are going to be.
Yeah, I just feel like Anthony Black is like being put in a lose-lose situation. It's like when everybody's healthy, you don't get to play. When guys are out, we're just going to thrust you into the starting lineup. And then not only are you going to hold your own, but you're going to perform well. You're going to be impactful, but then you're also not really going to be rewarded for making the impact that he does a lot of the time. Like, I don't really see him making a lot of mistakes. Like, can he be a little bit too passive offensively? Sure. But like, teams are starting to close out on him. Like, they're not just leaving him wide open anymore. And like, when he's asked to knock down shots, he's doing so like pretty efficiently. Would you like to see him put the ball on the floor a little bit and get to the rim and attack and be aggressive? Sure. But he's not really hurting you offensively. If anything, like, he's helping provide spacing. And yeah, he has the occasional like rookie defensive lap, but like 90-95% of the time, the kid is just a lockdown dog of a defender on the perimeter and like and able to guard multiple positions. I know the like long-term vision is there for him. I'm sure, you know, I'm sure they love him. They have a lot of confidence in him and they see him being here and part of this team for a long time. But man, that's got to be rough on a young kid's confidence, where it's like, okay, guys are healthy, I don't get to play. When I do play and I play well, I'm not always being rewarded and being able to be in those minutes that I feel like, honestly, he's earned. Like, when we have a rookie guard and we're saying like, no, like, this kid should be on the floor to close games because he's been playing well, I don't know. I want to see him be rewarded in that instance. I can't really like fault Mosley because it worked out. Like, Cole, two performances in a row where like second halves, the Magic have needed big buckets and Cole has showed up and gotten those, which is exactly what we need out of Cole Anthony. I don't mean to, this isn't like an anti Jamal or Cole thing. It's just like, I just wish there was more of an opportunity for Anthony Black, and it sucks that it's not always there right now.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is regardless of results. I think a lot of it is what Mosley just wants to do schematically, game in and game out. And the closing stretch, I mean, Cole Anthony and Anthony Black are totally different players. You have them in the game for completely different reasons. Cole Anthony can give you a scoring burst. Anthony Black can hit the open shot. But Cole is just, I mean, we know the stark difference there between the two. So for me, and it's also just kind of paying your dues. You're a rookie. You're figuring it out. Your game's not perfect, but the Magic have done a great job putting him in situations to showcase himself, regardless of the circumstances, and he's showed immense growth. So for me, it just feels like the long game with Anthony Black, and that's totally fine with me, because at the end of the day, the guy you put in for him didn't lose you this game in Cole Anthony, and that's the big thing. You walk out with a win. Cole Anthony had some nice stretches there down the stretch. So you live with it. You move on. You know, there's times where in the moment it doesn't make sense. But then if you're able to look at it and be like, oh, well, nothing bad came of it necessarily. So hats off to Jamal Mosley, in my opinion, doing what he thinks is best, going with his gut, and understanding Anthony Black is here for years to come, and he's going to get his opportunities, and people are going to be phased out, and people are going to be a product of consolidation. But I don't think that's going to be Anthony Black because of how he does step up in these situations.
Yeah, Anthony Black and Jalen Suggs, like it feels like every episode we're like gushing over Jalen Suggs. Like, obviously, you know, friend of the podcast, maybe there's a little bit of bias there. I'll be happy to admit that. But like Jalen Suggs, like 5 threes tonight. I'm continually amazed at the shooting leap that this dude has made. 6 of 12 from the floor tonight, 5 of 10 from behind the arc. Had big threes like that one, like as the shot clock was winding down, where he got the ball with like a second and a half left and just throws it up and it drops in. It's like every single time that dude shoots the ball now, I'm expecting it to go in. He was really big in this game as well. You know, had, you know, foul trouble and Charlotte was able to have a bounce back game for him. And I know we've talked about Mo Wagner as well. Just a good victory. Like, it was super frustrating in that first half being down 21, knowing that this team really should just come out and blow the doors off Washington. But I mean, you come out and you get a victory. That's what we need. Now, taking a look at the standings, again, you know, some of these games have finished wrapping up here. Looking at the standings at NBA.com, ESPN, all not loading currently. That's great. But the Magic have another opportunity coming up on Friday. They're a half game up on New York. If you're able to get that win, create a little bit more separation there. 2 games up on Indiana. Would love to get another win. If you win 2 more games in a row, now you're sitting at 39-26. Would really just be awesome. Who knows what's going to happen with Milwaukee and the Cavaliers. You know, you're now 3.5 games back of the 3 seed. I don't think that we get there, but you've got some winnable games coming up still here on the schedule. We've been talking about this, but taking a look at the next couple games here at New York, home for Indiana. Then you've got Brooklyn, Toronto, and Charlotte. If you can win the weekend here, New York and Indiana, like, we're looking at a possible like 10-game win streak. I know we've mentioned that the last couple of episodes here. You get a 10-game win streak, you're probably going to find yourself either third in the Eastern Conference, or like maybe a game or a half game out of 3 in the Eastern Conference, and maybe like a game or a game and a half back of the 2 seed.
There's not many teams that are able to have a 9 and then a 10 plus game win streak. That's pretty much, I mean, only Boston maybe can do that right now. They have now the league best winning streak at 11. That ended March 3rd is what the site is saying. And even still, they haven't, their longest streak before that was 6, and they've done that a couple times. Point being, bad teams, below average teams, don't do this. If you Google longest win streaks in the NBA this season, there is a site that lists out everything. And if you're a bad team,
what is that site called?
So this one is, I've never even heard of it, honestly, but it looks good. Champs or chumps.us.
What a name.
Yeah, what a name. So shout out to them because they created this table. But yeah, they'll show up for sure if you just put longest win streaks in the NBA this season. They've got a whole table. But yeah, it's only the the above average teams that can put together win streaks. It doesn't matter who it's against. It doesn't matter that your schedule is a little weaker at this point. Everybody has some weaker parts of their schedule, but not everybody beats the teams they should beat. The Magic are doing that right now. Regardless of how the game starts, they're finishing it. And that's just what they've got to continue to do. And like you said, if you're able to win the weekend, which is massive,
which is going to be incredibly difficult. I don't mean to make light of that. Like,
no, of course.
To be able to beat New York in New York, who you've been beating up all season. I know they're still hurt, but the third game in four nights, like, it's going to be really tough to win in New York on Friday.
It's going to be very tough. And quite frankly, even if you split the weekend, I will be happy.
Yeah.
So win one of them. But if you happen to win both of them, you have a very, very good shot at an 11-game win streak.
Which I believe would be the longest streak in franchise history.
Yes, because prior to that, it's just nine. We tied the win streak for the franchise, and then the win streak longest one this season is 11. If you can beat New York and Indy, you've got Brooklyn, Toronto twice, and Charlotte before you head or before you host New Orleans on March 21st. So, gearing up to be continuing to be a really fun stretch. This team is doing things that we haven't seen this team do since 2011, and those are all good things. So, hopefully, we can keep it moving and a big weekend ahead.
I genuinely don't like. I would have no idea how to act if the Magic find themselves 42-26.
Yeah, that'd be wild.
That would
right?
just that would be. It doesn't even seem real.
And 26, let's see, because there's like six games that would contribute to that 11-game win streak. So that would be, yeah, you'd have 13 games remaining with that type of record. You legitimately can get 50-plus wins if that's the case, if you do go on that streak. Maybe getting ahead of ourselves a little bit, but...
When you look at the schedule, I don't think it's not getting that far ahead. Like you, if you are able to beat New York and Indiana, the rest of those games you might even be favored. You probably will be favored at home against Indiana.
Yeah,
I don't. Are there odds? Probably not odds yet for or a spread yet for the Knicks game.
Not yet.
But those other games, you know, Brooklyn, Toronto, Charlotte, you'll be favored in each one of those games.
Yeah, I mean, the getting ahead of ourselves, I hadn't looked, but there are no back-to-backs, which is great news.
Yeah.
In that stretch. So you're in prime position, and you don't have another back-to-back till the end of March. March 29th and 30th, you have the Clippers, and then you play the Memphis Grizzlies, which is that group night that we're hosting. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
All right. I think that's going to do it for this one, Luke. You got anything else before we go ahead and wrap this one up, and then hopefully we can all get some much-needed sleep?
No, we're good.
Okay. That's going to do it for this one, folks. Again, if you want tickets to the group night where we're going to play on the Magic's floor prior to the game, tickets are going to go quickly. So go to fivo-enterprise.com/event/sixthman, the number 7. fivo-enterprise.com/event/6man7. I don't know why 6man7. That's just the link that we were provided. So yeah, really looking forward to that. Go and get your tickets. We got a lot of stuff coming up. Next episode of the Six Fan Show is going to be Sunday when we play the Pacers. Next watch party, March 15th, Friday. Magic take on the Toronto Raptors at the Twisted Handle, 1632 North Mills Avenue at 7:30. Producer Kevin is going to be doing the playback Friday at 7:30 when the Magic take on the Knicks and all those other important games going on around the league. That's going to do it for this one. For Luke Sylvia, Jonathan Osborne, and Luke Sylvia's nipples, you all have been listening to the Six Man Show, and we will catch you guys next time. See ya.
Thanks for listening to the Sixth Man Show. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and Spotify to get new episodes downloaded directly to your phone. If you enjoyed the show, please take a minute to give us a 5-star rating and a review. It helps out the show a lot. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook @Sixth Man Show. We'll catch you guys next time. Go Magic!